The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, with you on the 16th day of October 2017 with Ron McDonald. He's back with us. He wasn't with us last Monday. We didn't know if Ron was going to burn up like a crispy critter or not, but he's alive and well. And I'm certainly glad of that. By the way, you know, here's a startling little thing. You know, numbers and dollars usually get people's attention. Hey, justice and law enforcement costs, policing, court, and incarceration associated with the illegal aliens soared to more than $4.4 billion. And medical services for these wonderful people that just love our country so much they'll come in here illegally. Medical service costs taxpayers approximately $4 billion, including $388 million associated with 68,000 births to illegal alien mothers. You know, Ron, it's almost like they kept withholding doing anything about the illegal alien situation until they come in here and start dropping them.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah. Now here's a wonderful excuse. Well, we can't deport the parents. They were legally born on this soil. And before anything is done, the baby they just dropped yesterday, what are we going to wait another 20 years until they're dropping babies?
Well, see, you've just gone over the reason why California is very expensive to live in.
So you know, it hasn't occurred to anybody out there that we're turning our state into a damn cesspool. It's going to be eternally broke, and it's going to be screwed up. Even the more communistic-minded and socialistic-minded people out there, I mean, if they have a mind, don't they understand that they're turning their state into a third-world status state? Don't they get that?
You know, I don't think they do. Obviously, they don't get it.
God almighty.
They don't get it, you know, and it drives me crazy when in our local areas, when they have a vote to put some sort of cost attached to your real property. Why would anyone want to raise their property taxes to support anything? Yeah. I mean, when you get older, that's where you go to survive.
Well, I've never met a socialist yet that was against raising taxes.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we caught it wasn't Feinstein, it was the other snowflake out there, Boxer.
Boxer, yeah.
Boxer, you know, she has said that, well, when we've got the tax rates to 85, maybe 90%, maybe it won't be that high. Feinstein said something very similar to that years ago as well. So that tells you the mindset.
Yeah.
That they're willing and able to tax you, and they're going to keep doing it. No matter what they claim the funds are needed for. I mean, what's next? You know, I mean, we just, what do we do? Start lawyer funds for criminals to hire them the best lawyers in the country because they're out there committing crimes? I got one for you here. Stop committing crimes. Quit being a criminal. And you illegals, stay your butts home, will you? Or, I don't know. Maybe we can raise the militias in this country. Maybe we can go invade Mexico and steal that. Give the United States to the Mexicans and we'll take over Mexico. That's an evil thought, isn't it? Doug in Arizona. Hello, Doug.
How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, I've been working the border for about 11 years now. I thought you might want an update on what's going on.
Well, where the hell you been?
What do you mean, where have I been?
Well, you've been out there doing your thing, but I haven't heard from you, Doug, saying those words. I would love an update. Please.
Good news is we're having, I just do the citizen patrol type stuff, not with a group, just a few people. And the good news is we're having tougher and tougher time finding places to work because Border Patrol is, they're really tightening it up. It ain't like the 90s. They ain't just rolling through anymore.
Well, because they got enough of them here that can drop babies on U.S. soil, and they can get in that way.
That's true. And the other thing people don't talk about, that really the way they get in, is they just come in on a visa, a day visa, or for a few days. They say they're going to come shopping, or they're going to visit relatives. And if they don't have a past record of breaking into the country, a lot of times they just let them in. They just don't go home.
Yeah, because, how would you? If a Mexican and his family are in a car coming north and we're just going to go over to the mall and go shopping, what are you going to do, tell them no?
Well, I would.
Well, I mean, yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, until border wall is really nice. I mean, if it magically was there, I'd say great. But really, I would trade the border wall for really strict internal enforcement and cutting off their benefits. Because if you did that, if they knew if they got pulled over, or if they tried to get a job somewhere, and if they knew they were going to get bounced out and didn't get any benefits, 95% of them would go home.
Well, and Doug, you pay attention because obviously you're putting in your time voluntarily to get down there and help Border Patrol keep the critters out, and I appreciate that. But, saying that, if they just crack down, and you've seen the ebb and flow before, when they got word that, hey, under Barack Obama, hey, nothing's going to happen. Let's storm the border. Hell, we got video of them riding on top of trains coming into the country. Like nobody noticed that. But we've seen the ebb and the flow, and just recently the flood has slowed to a fire hose trickle, if you can say that, because they had gotten word that, wait a minute, they're starting to question where I'm from. What are you doing here? They're starting to ask for your citizenship, your papers. And with the illegals, I got no problem doing that. I really don't. But, you've been there. You've been eyewitness to it down there. I don't know what you thought about my fence idea, putting up one like Hungary.
Yeah, it works. Fences do work. I mean, when down near Douglas, before they had fences, back in the wild 90s, this is before my time, but guys I worked with working, like Douglas Border Patrol, they had a school bus. They used to have to go out and pick them up in a lot. And that soaks up a lot of Border Patrol's time. And so high fences do work. They come through in smaller groups, and it does work.
Well, a demarcation line, no matter how high the fence is, this is the line in the sand, so to speak, and do not cross it. And that only works, I don't care if you've got a 50-foot-high fence or it's 15-foot-high, the fence only works if there's somebody paying attention to that demarcation line by way of personnel.
Yeah, one of the things that Border Patrol has that works real well is they've got really, really nice FLIR cameras and all this other stuff where an agent can sit in a truck and he can watch for miles the border. I mean, they can still get to there pretty smart. They'll find little ravines and stuff like that. But,
Well,
stepped up.
And all I need to do to defeat that is just wrap myself in a little bit of aluminum foil, and I just defeated the FLIR unit. Anyhow, Doug, I appreciate
One of the problems, one of the other problems we have is we just have trouble getting people. Three-quarters of the people that contact us and say, I'm coming down, three-quarters of them don't even show. And the half of them that even do show up, most of these American guys, they spend the night out in the cold watching the trail. They're done. They want to get back to the hotel.
No, I got you.
Mexicans are tough, though.
They don't know what it's like to be rugged anymore.
There's too many people. I mean, even just camping out is tough for a lot of American men, they can.
They want to
tell you how many guns they own. They want to show you their rifle, which looks like it's never been out of a gun safe until they brought it down. And it's sad.
Well, what's fascinating to me is over the years, people, they were astounded. Well, you don't go camping? No, I don't. Well, it's fun. No, doing something that I might have to be doing for the rest of my life is kind of going to be like a reminder. And thank you very much. I'm not going to do it until I absolutely, positively have to.
I got a fallback plan if all comes worse to worst. If I really want to live in a country that has clear and defined borders, where they protect their borders, and if I want a pet, you have a right to own a firearm, and have beautiful beaches and women, you know what my plan is?
I'm dying to hear this one.
Become a Jew and move to Israel.
Going. Yeah, but you ain't got no oceanfront property. Oh, I guess you do. No, I'll take that back. No, they stole enough of coastline now. Yeah. All right, Doug, thank you.
Hey, I'm tight on money, but I'm going to send you $100, and you take it easy, huh?
Thank you very much. Thank you for what you've been doing, and thank you for the donation to the network. Bob in the UP. Hello, Bob in the UP.
Good evening, John.
Hi.
It's equality, the Constitution, and the rest of it. You know, as long as a person can pay a fine with dollars and get out, that's not equality. The only real equality in this world is time. If every person out there had to serve time, just the same, our system would be much better. Don't you think, Ron?
Well, I'm not getting you yet. Serve time. Oh, what do you mean, as far as service?
No, jail time.
Okay. Oh, jail time, okay. Okay, so You started with equality.
Yeah, Bob, we're not getting your message here. Redefine.
Well, one person can do a crime, let's say a small misdemeanor.
Yeah.
And the guy that can afford to pay $500, $1,000, okay, gets off.
Gotcha.
And the poor man, he spends 5-10 days in jail. Gotcha. Now, if we were all equal, the rich man would have to spend the 5-10 days in jail also. Mm. That would turn our system around and make it much more equal.
I would agree with that, and I'd also agree that being an attorney shouldn't be a business.
Yeah, that's no kidding. All right, Bob, anything else, sir?
No. Thank you, John.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Bob. Lawyers, the administrative state. But how would the lawyers get paid?
Well, there shouldn't be any.
What? Payment or lawyers?
We should be taught to speak for ourselves and defend ourselves.
Oh, you mean in the common sense, common law kind of way? In other words, if I don't really harm anybody and they can't prove that any harm was done, they have nothing. They got nothing. They ain't got nothing.
It'd have to be a plenary trial. That means they can't eliminate any facts at all, including the fact that they would have to prove you're a taxpayer if they call you a taxpayer. They'd have to show the actual law that states you're a taxpayer or a driver or whatever. That's your common law.
So, by the way, go ahead.
That brought up another thought when you said a word and it just triggered the looters involved in stealing stuff that people have already lost, you know, everything. They go into their homes or what's left of their homes and start stealing. Personally, they're just arresting them. I think they should be shot on sight.
you invoking castle doctrine here?
Either that or hung, yeah.
All right, Mikey, why did you send me this story from Business Insider? Okay. I'll wait till my system reboots, because when I hit that story, my computer went kaflooey. According to Daniel Brown on June 6th of this year, it turns out that the $110 billion Saudi arms deal that the Trump administration announced in May is actually fake news, according to the Brookings Institution. Wait a minute here. We got lies crossing each other. Bruce Rydell, a senior fellow and director of the Brookings Intelligence Project, writes that everyone with whom he has spoken in defense industry and on Capitol Hill said the supposed $110 billion deal is actually a bunch of letters of interest or intent, but not contracts. In fact, a lot of these proposals, which the Pentagon calls intended sales, are just arms that defense contractors speculate that the Saudis might want at some point. Many were even proposed during the Obama era. For example, the Pentagon proposed to sell the Saudis four frigates for $11.25 billion in 2015, but since then no contracts have been signed. Same thing with the THAAD systems. The Saudis have wanted missile defense systems for a while, and Obama even approved such a sale in 2015, but nothing has been signed. Well, who's telling the truth here? Kushner personally intervened in the $110 billion arms sale to get the Saudi Arabia a better price. So he's in there trying to... Oh, God. Can we get rid of the Adams family in the White House? Jared, on the way out the door, take your wife with you. That's not going to be a very nice. It's not going to be a very nice atmosphere if Trump shows Kushner the door. Now, yeah, it's still family extended as it is, but that would. Could you imagine having a bitchy rich daughter mad at you if you're president?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
And she's powerful too. It's not as if she isn't powerful. She's powerful also.
Okay, Mikey. Mark in Florida. It's not on my screen. That's why I didn't call it out. Mark in Florida. Hello, Mark.
Hello, John. you got me laughing there at the Adams family. As you know, or we discussed before, as far as immigrants and the borders and things, the only way this government seems to be able to catch a quote-unquote illegal immigrant is by forcing me to prove I have permission from Uncle Sam to have a job or a car or a license or a house. And I'm sick and tired of having to prove to politicians and some guy with a badge and a gun that God has given me permission to be on this earth, that I don't have to prove to anybody that I'm worthy to live in the North American continent or the South American continent or on any other continent. And just because all the other continents point guns at you and make you prove you're worthy of being there, the United States, all men are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights.
Okay, Mark. And all people, Mark, men, Mark, yes? That sounds mighty libertarian to me.
All peaceful, non-harmful men and women should be able to sustain their life anywhere they choose without asking for permission from a politician or some other stranger that brings a gun from his 5 acres to another 5 acres that he has no ownership or rights to and point it at me and tell me I'm not allowed to cross the border.
So, Mark, that's when we used to live on meets and bounds. We now live in an artificial construct called a corporation. We are in a commerce jurisdiction. You need papers to identify yourself in that type of jurisdiction.
So, you're suggesting to me, as long as you know, and nobody else does, but as long as you know, you and God knows, that you're a good human being, that you should be able to crash anybody's border anytime, anywhere?
I think you're using the terms misusing terms.
No, I don't think that I am. Not okay. Well, you, Mark, you need to hang on because I got a lot more for you after the break. You're the one that came on the air and made that statement. If I am incorrect with what I just retorted back to you, I'm dying to hear this. We'll be back in 3.
Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Soon you will be dancing face to face with the limits of ambition and the scars of the marketplace. Welcome to the land of flame and fizz, where you will learn that packaging is all that heaven is.
All right. Mark, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that was a little harsh and you didn't like that? Hello? You're kind of saying I'm putting words in your mouth, and I'm just saying it a different way. But I don't get it, Mark. I'm not getting the point, and you're not defending it.
Well, if you could repeat your sentence, you was talking about the border,
right?
And crossing someone's border,
right?
Whose border?
Any border. Yeah, would you like me to play back your statement so far? Or did you forget what you said? That you shouldn't have to have permission from some government or politician to prove anything, and you should be able to go anywhere you want. Right?
As long as I'm causing no harm or damage to anybody, yes.
Well, that just seems to be a problem because, geez, I'm sure there was no declaration made by all the illegals in this country. They didn't walk into the country, hey, I'm just here to party, have a good time, see some relatives. I'm not a criminal. I'm not part of MS-13, or I'm not a Mexican drug dealer. And if they have no record, they've not been vetted, how the hell do you know? How do you know?
You know, because they haven't caused you any harm or damage.
Up until the time that they do.
Well, just anybody can cause you harm and damage. I couldn't. I was born in Ohio. It doesn't matter where I come from. I could cause you damage. It doesn't matter where on earth I was born.
It has to do with not just the government telling you that you can't. It has to do with maintaining a certain amount of security, but more importantly, culture. You know, I've said this before, Mark, and I guess I have to say this again. I am one of these people that love diversity. I am 100% down for diversity, but not their rendition of it. I enjoy foreign cultures, foreign people, but I want to go to their country to see them and their culture in their own country. And do you think that these people, all the nice people, and I'm not saying all these Mexicans that crash the border, they're all criminals, because that's nonsense. They're not. They're looking for a better life, and I get that. But we've run out of everything in this country. And it's time for the respective countries to do something for their own people, to take care of their own people. What's being described here is humanitarian doublespeak, that if you really care and you love human beings, you won't say no. Well, I'm sorry, I'm saying no, because I've seen the culture being smashed. I don't
see it as the people that come in that are smashing the culture. I see it as the government, the senators, the congressmen, and the police forces are the ones that are smashing the culture. They are the ones placing the conditions. They are the ones giving out the, handing out, robbing Peter to pay Paul. The government and their policies are the ones that's destroying the culture. A group of people will congregate among themselves where they're comfortable.
Yeah.
But Uncle Sam and their policies force them onto everybody else instead of letting them be.
Okay, Ron, do you have any comment on this
one? It's not the people that are doing it.
You know, I would probably say that I'm a purist. I believe culture should remain isolated and maintain their existence and not be inundated with other cultures, so you lose something. You know, and I think that's what's happened here in California is we're losing our own cultures.
Yeah.
And that's a bad thing. That's a destructive thing.
Well, and Mark, and I'm sorry, Ron, I need to bring this up before I forget to say it. Mark, this is one of the globalist wet dreams here we're talking about, is smashing culture and society by introducing a crapload of foreigners. Ask people in Germany if they're really happy with this. Ask the people in France. There are countries that, like Hungary and Yugoslavia, they put up a stop sign and said, we mean it. If you're going to come into the country, apply for citizenship if that's what you want to do. Make up your mind, then do it. But all this shifting of different cultures and everything else, this is not a utopian world. We're dealing with human beings, okay?
But the shifting, I would argue, is caused by government interference in foreign lands.
That is true as well. But Mark, you came on and you uttered the statement that you don't need the government and politicians saying where and where I can't go. You know, if I'm not breaking any law, I can go anywhere on the planet that I want to. And that's just not so. And it never has been.
I would also say that California back in the day was mostly Mexican, Spanish, and Indian, and not white men.
Right.
So we've changed their culture as much as we claim they're changing ours.
We just bought the property and we got the bill of sale for it. It was once theirs, now it's ours. Now they want it back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger You know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot, whether you're a college student, busy professional?
Wow. Peace, love, and dope, man. I understood what he was saying, but it was very little I agreed with.
Well, I think you hit it right. We bought out California, so it doesn't revert back.
We got the bill of sale. You know? I mean, holy mackerel.
Yeah, that was right on point.
And please, no angry emails or phone calls from people in Arizona or New Mexico. But you know what? it's a bunch of scrub brush and desert, you know? But it was sold. It was purchased by the United States government. We actually have a bill of sale to prove it. And that's the problem that I had with the La Reconquistas. You know, they didn't like the deal, so they just wanted to break the deal.
Yeah.
You know, it was the United States, but we want it back. It's ours.
Yeah, now that California has been improved, they want it back.
Oh, but are they in for a shock? Wayne in Texas. Hello, Wayne.
Hi, John. This last caller, Mark, I think he needs to get out of the house a little more and see what's really going on in the country. He's reading too many liberal magazines or something like
no,
that.
No, what I think, Wayne, seriously, Mike's major malfunction is, or I'm sorry, Mark's, he's seen enough chaos and fighting and disease and death and destruction and chaos, and he just wants to go the peaceful route. I think he's flying the flag of peace. Unfortunately, it's probably a rainbow flag. I don't know, but you know, I think I know where he's coming from, and I can understand. But here again, I see a lot of people that they don't see clear resolution of the problem. You know, fences make good neighbors. I mean, it really does.
Yeah. Well, where I think we need to go is with some facts, and he needs to learn from people like the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick. He's on record in several interviews where he has made the brought forth statistics, whereas, like in Texas, in a five-year period from right around 2009 to 14, we had 600,000 crimes committed by illegals. 200,000 illegals were arrested here in Texas for murder, drunk driving death, you know, rape, other sexual assaults. So to me, there's almost 600,000 Texans have been violated over the past several years. So that should be proof positive. They don't all come in peace.
Yeah, but what I think he was asking us to do, Wayne, because of an illegal coming into the country, giving us a peace sign with one hand and a knife or a gun in the other or a bag of drugs, we should ignore it. I don't quite get it. And then to tie in the government that did this, yeah, okay, well, yeah, blowing up Syria, was that a good idea? No, it wasn't. Blowing up the other six countries over there, was that a good idea? No, it wasn't. And, yeah, does that displace people unless you want to sit in the backyard and wait for a bomb to drop in your lap? I'd want to get the hell out of Dodge myself. But the solution right. of this problem is not bringing them here in this country. And I was tongue-in-cheek kidding about Mexico. You know, how the hell do you think the Mexican government would feel and the people down there if we just decided to move in and claim what they once, you know, we could make up a good story, I'm sure, but we just go down to Mexico and we occupy that country and just call it ours.
Yeah, well, we know what happened. But
exactly.
Hey, I want to get to a question for Ron, and it has to do with these sanctuary cities and even California being sanctuary state, and what we see happening it's a violation of Title 8, Section 1324, I believe, federal law to aid and abet illegals. They're willfully endangering public safety when they let these people back on the streets, especially after being arrested, and, you know, violation of oath of office. And I assume there's a criminal, you know, there is a crime there somewhere. So my question is, whose responsibility is it to bring charges against these mayors, governors, you know, whoever, to enforce the law? Ron?
Well, that would be the Attorney General's Office of the
right.
United States.
Exactly.
If there's a crime that they violate, I mean, if there's a statute they violate it, definitely he doesn't have a discretion in it. He must. That's part of the job is to bring forward a complaint.
So in this case, it would be Sessions.
Yes. Yes, it would. And again, it's not discretionary. When a crime, you know the saying, no man's above the law, and ignorance of the law is no excuse. It applies to states as persons, and any other entity.
Sure.
And Wayne, I might add here that, you know, part of the problem here is people perceiving that we've had enough of the federal government running roughshod over the states and telling the states what they're going to do. But in this particular case, it is within the purview and it is the duty of the federal government on the immigration issue. The safety umbrella was supposed to be over everybody's head, meaning the states, that they would check immigration, illegal immigration, and not let this happen. That's been the problem. And I can see people, you know, Mark in Florida, you know, we've seen our federal government do a whole lot of nasty things to its own people, and that feeling kind of starts to bleed over into other areas, of which they're not making clear distinction.
Right. Yeah, I understand. And I guess the thing that Sessions has been doing is just mainly talking about holding back money, which is an element to it. But I really believe if he and other people in his office start talking about prosecuting these mayors and making them forfeit some of their assets, you know, to pay back some homeowners and other people have been violated by these people, I think we could get some movement, you know, going in the right direction. And, guys, one other quick thing. This is on my mind, too. If you live in a sanctuary city where laws are being openly violated by these public officials, do they some way forfeit their authority to even have any kind of, you know, over you at all?
No.
Is there any kind of...
No. As long as they're there proclaiming that they have the authority and shut up and leave me alone.
Well, there's got to be some kind of legal remedy, though, when you're openly breaking the law and endangering your safety as a citizen of that city.
Well, you do have a remedy. When they act outside their jurisdiction, that would be a writ of prohibition. Those are your extraordinary writs that come from the common law, and that's to prohibit them from moving any further in the issue.
I see. Is there any kind of notice? Like you can give them like a notice of, a notice of liability?
You usually do a notice of and demand to desist and refrain from any further action. So
okay.
you can do that.
And then if they continue their actions,
yeah.
Do you have any kind of, ability to take them to court and sue them?
Well, that's your writs again. That's where you bring your writ in.
Okay.
And they have to appear in court and give evidence why they have the authority to move that way.
I see. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Right. Very good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Wayne. By the way, a little bit more on this. MRC TV did a piece on U.S. immigrant population, and it hit a 106-year high in 2016. The number of immigrants living in the United States hit a record 43.7 million. In 2016, according to new stats out from the Center for Immigration Studies. And according to their projections, this is just the tip of the ever-migrating iceberg. The study notes that between legal immigrants and the illegal present aliens, roughly 13.5% of the entire U.S. population, about 1 in 8 people are foreign-born, the highest percentage in 106 years. Now, this includes permanent legal residents, naturalized citizens, temporary workers, students, and illegal aliens. Overall, the number of immigrants, which CIS estimates is actually probably slightly more than 45 million, given generation gaps and an unknown number of illegals, has risen 12.6 million in just the last 16 years alone. By 2060, CIS estimates that the number will have exceeded 78 million. Now, between 2010 and 2016, this is the height of the Obama-era immigration boom. More than 8 million new immigrants settled in the United States. And CIS added, noting that this total is offset by roughly 600,000 immigrants who either pass away or leave the U.S. each year. So, they noted that those nearly 44 million known foreign-born immigrants also account for roughly 16.6 million U.S.-born children. Now, what doesn't really do a good job of breaking this down of how many illegals are having legal babies, which there's something I really don't understand. The thinking is, if you can crash the party, slip in and drop a baby, that somehow that you're now invited to the party by way of your new baby you just dropped on the party giver's floor. I hate to put it in such crude terms, but that's basically what this boils down to.
Yes.
You know, it might sound simplistic or a little bit harsh to some people, but, man, we've been dealing with this for a number of years. And it's the globalists that really want to smash the cultures of the countries. You know, there are words for it. There are names for it. Multiculturalizing, you know. Give it a name, but it amounts to the same thing. You were going to say.
Well, I'm just saying that the tax burden on the people of the different states that have the influx of the immigration, it's prohibitive. It really is. It eats into a very shrinking weekly wage at this point. You know, I remember at least 15 to 20 years ago, there was a saying that most Americans are living from one paycheck to another. What's it like today?
Well, what destruction hath the funny money people brought us? Wow.
I want to ask you also, have you had donations since you've made your announcement?
I had one guy that called in and said that he lost his job in May, was it, Mike? That he's going to make up. He got hurt. Okay, so he wasn't able to work. Now he's back to work. And he's going to do a backlog of his donations that he had to cut off because of his injury. So he's going to make that up. And one person called in with a $100 donation. We're not burning the house down. No pun intended there, Ron. But we're not burning the house down here. And again, folks, listen to the ad. It was put together by Mike Herzog. By the way, before I forget, as of Saturday night, Mike Herzog was about 70% sure that he's coming back on the network. Now I think he's about 100% sure.
Terrific.
And he wouldn't be hearing this right now because he's watching the playoff game between the Yankees and the Astros. So he'll probably hear this later. But he's got some things to take care of, but I would look for him to be back on air in probably the next week or so. And we're going to place him right in that slot that, geez, what was that guy's name that used to occupy that?
I think he was an ex-doctor or something.
I think he got fired for killing somebody or something. I don't remember, but at any rate, he'll be in the 1 to 3 o'clock spot Monday through Friday on Republic Broadcasting. Make a pretty damn good lineup, I would say. Herzog, Rivero, myself. Dan sounds in Grand great. Junction, Colorado. Hello. How you doing, Dan?
How you doing, John?
Good.
Say, I'm not as articulate as a lot of the callers, but I understand exactly what's going on. And I want you to know, and I encourage everybody, I just sent you $150.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
And I encourage everybody else to do it, too.
I do as well. You know, I can actually remember the day we had this network that we didn't have to ask for donations. I do remember those days. And, man, did they look good.
Well, you just keep hanging in there. That check will be there in a couple days.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it.
Okay, John. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the only reason for the man's call? I'll take 100 calls like that. Line them up, Mike. Line them up. Jim in Missouri. Hello, Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hey, John and Ron.
Hi.
You know, this whole immigration issue, we've seen, this is a planned deal. We've seen the videos of Barbara Spector in Europe, this great American Jew woman who is claiming that, oh, well, we're not going to allow you to do, you know, the normal thing. We're going to thrust this on you, whether you want it or not. And that's what the problem is that these countries, I mean, look at what's happening in Germany and in Scandinavia and the surrounding countries. That's an invasion.
Yeah.
That's not an immigration issue. That's an invasion. And I think that's where a lot of people maybe they don't know what exactly is occurring, but that is an invasion. That is not an immigration issue. It is an invasion.
Well, and and what are we talking here? There is precedence in history past, I guess you could say, that territories and countries don't fare too well when you bring in people that don't understand each other's language and or culture. I think that was Mystery Babylon, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, and I know you can probably relate to this, John. I come from a Sicilian, German, Scottish background.
Almost. I'm Irish, and, not Scottish, but I feel you, man.
Close enough. Well, you know, my people from the German-Scottish side have been here since early 1700s. The Italian side, Sicilian side, came in 1880s. But when they came in, they went through Ellis Island.
Yes, sir, they did.
And they were checked out. They
yes,
wanted
they were.
To know, do you have disease? Are you diseased? If you had a disease that was not acceptable, you were quarantined, and they would try to get you better, and if you got better, then they would accept you in. But you went through a massive vetting process. Not a big deal. And if we remember back, Teddy Roosevelt wasn't one of my favorites, but he did make the statement that, hey, when you come into this country, you have walked away from your home country. So if you're an Italian and you come to the United States, well, you're leaving the Italian stuff behind. You're now an American.
And that seems to be something, Jim, that's missing on a certain sector of the people here in the United States today that want to be called African Americans, that somehow that their hyphenated status gives them something more than just plain old regular citizenship like anybody else.
Well, and that's a bunch of bull, John.
Well, I know that. You know that, and this listening audience does.
Right, well, and let me give you an example. When I was a young kid, I come from the Midwest area, and late 60s, early 70s. I remember going over to visit my grandmother and grandfather, the Italian side, and they lived in a neighborhood. And my father, I remember driving down the street, and my father would say, well, this is where all the Germans live, and there's their church, and here's where the Jews live, and here's their synagogue, and the blacks live over here, and the Hungarians live over here, and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? They all went to the same schools. They all were friends, and they would be invited, like the Croatians would throw a party, a festival. They would invite all their friends from school, and they were all welcomed. But everybody, birds of a feather, they all lived in their own little communities, and everybody got along just fine.
Jim, that was the way of it for many years. Now, you, your ancestry is Sicilian?
Yes.
Mine as well.
Yeah, and mine also.
And isn't it strange? Maybe we got the smart genes running in our blood. I don't know, but at any rate.
Well, but the point is that everybody, even though, you know, the segregation was fine, it was a natural thing. You know?
Yeah.
Well, you move into the country, you don't speak the language well, so you all congregate
exactly
into a certain area until you start to learn the language and start to assimilate.
And that is, and Jim, let me interject here. That is exactly what happened with my mother's parents. They came from the old country back in the 1890s. They raised a family. The first thing that, of course, they didn't speak English all too well, but the first thing they relayed to my mother, their daughter, was, you will learn English, and you will learn it now. And she did. So
yeah,
did the other members of the family. And the idea was that you learn the language, you assimilate into the culture of the country that you moved into. They didn't come here with the intent of setting up their own permanent enclave.
Exactly. And it's not that you have to give up your language or your culture at all.
No, it did not mean that. You're
but
exactly
you
right.
You have to be able to assimilate. And, you know, to this day, Kansas City, Missouri, go up there, there'll be an Italian festival, there'll be an Irish festival, there'll be a German festival,
yep,
there'll be a Mexican festival,
yep,
and you know what? Everybody's welcome. Everybody has a good time. No big deal. We're just enjoying each other's cultures.
Well, we can't have that anymore. What? We've got to have one tribe warring against another, Jim. My God.
I know. Well, anyway, that's all I had to say, John. Right. But you know what? The people of this country need to wake up.
Jim, I couldn't be in more agreement with you. Thanks for your call.
Appreciate the show.
All righty, sir. You know, same thing up in Detroit. I used to go to their festivals. Hell, they had so many different festivals, you know, I couldn't even remember them all. But, man, I sure did love showing up to try the different foods, the ethnic foods. You know,
we had the same thing in San Francisco. I mean, it's...
look what happened to that damn town.
I know. Back in 57, they integrated it all.
Oh, God. You know, I mean, look... unless you're an American Indian, okay, you obviously had to immigrate your parents, your parents' parents, your great-great-great whatevers, came from other places around the globe. We know that. We understand that. But it was a controlled immigration. I hope the guy in Florida is still listening. It was a controlled immigration. And yeah, I'm fully aware of the Germans and the Irish. And what they went through, they weren't necessarily by established Americans looked at in the best light because they were foreigners. You know, the Irish, by virtue of their syntax and their drogue, they spoke English, but not always understandable to other people. Germans, on the other hand, spoke German, which a lot of Americans didn't understand. But there's always been a resistance to the new kid on the block. Until they came in, put down roots, started to be productive and non-threatening to their fellow human beings. You know, nobody has put up a stop sign and said no immigration in the United States. But they didn't come to the country under the idea that they'd set up their own culture. In other words, a country inside of the new country. You came to America, you became an American, not a hyphenated foreigner.
Yeah,
I mean it's as simple as that. By the way, I got a guy on Facebook wanting to contact you. Contact the guy back. Tell him I don't do anything on Facebook. Where is it? Oh, email it again. Was that last week? Yeah, email it again. By the way, one final note here. Colin Kaepernick. The guy that kicked off this whole I'm going to kneel thing, he's now filing lawsuits. He's filing grievances and lawsuits, and he's claiming a conspiracy in the NFL to keep him out. Well, I can settle that suit real quickly by saying, yes, Colin Kaepernick, you are right. The NFL doesn't want you in in their club. And he's unsigned over kneeling. Yeah, we got that. And Colin... I hear that they play football in Canada. Do you think they'd throw him out of Canada if he went up there?
I think they would, personally.
What'd you say, Mike? The fifth worst quarterback. Yeah. Again, folks, we need some donations, and we need them now, please. You know, if turnabout is fair play, if you want us to be here, kick in some money, please. The times that are befallen us aren't our fault, but we're all subject to the same thing you are. Ron McDonald, thank you, my friend.
Hey, always a pleasure, John.
Alrighty, sir. I'm glad you made it through the fires out there.
Well, thank you.
Alrighty, sir. And thank you, folks. We'll be back tomorrow.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.